Wednesday, June the 7th, 2006. This is Tips from the Top Floor, show number 128.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
And on today's show, I'll give you more information on the digital photography workshop in September. And if you're interested in that, please don't skip over the introduction. And I'll help you make that switch from digital point and shoot to digital SLR as smooth as possible.
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Yeah, and as you noticed, there was no show on Friday, none on Monday. That three-week business seminar really bogged me down quite a bit, but it's over now. And in addition, on Friday, I picked up my new camera, a Canon 5D, and I'll talk a bit more about the topic of full-frame DSLRs in one of the future shows. I'm usually trying to keep away from equipment discussions on this show, but just that much, it's really sweet. Chris Christensen interviewed me on the Amateur Traveler podcast. We talked about travel photography on his show number 45. Check it out at amateurtraveler.com. Had a lot of fun talking about tips and tricks for travel photography, and the link is in the show notes. Oh, and here's a topic that is going on in all different sorts of podcasts now. It's kind of hard to not get into that. A shout out goes to listener William, who I last met in Second Life. If you don't know what Second Life is, it's sort of a virtual world, and some call it a game, but I think it's much more. And every now and then I hang out there and meet other podcasters and podcast listeners in that virtual environment. So last night I was standing on the roof of the Rumor Girl Palace, and I was chatting with my buddy Franklin McMahon, who some of you might know from the Media Artist Secrets podcast, and all of a sudden there were quite a few people around chatting, and yeah, it was quite some fun. But again, a warning, Second Life does have some adult content as well, so don't go there if you are easily offended. And if you want to look out for me there, my name in Second Life is Christoph Mandelbrot, and feel free to also join the Tips from the Top Floor group that I've created there. And now to the workshop. I will be holding a 5-day digital photography workshop in Tübingen, southern Germany, from September 11th to the 15th. And here's the plan for that week. You'll learn to get the most out of your digital camera. We'll do exercises around image composition. We'll do at least one full-day photo excursion, maybe even two, depending on interest. We'll dive into post-processing, image critique, and in general, we'll have lots of fun and we'll be among like-minded people for the whole week. And I have a limited number of 14 participants for this workshop. So if you are interested in participating, please send me a note to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. And in order to allow me to tailor the workshop exactly to the needs of all the participants, please include a few words about what you'd like to learn most during that week. Now, expressing your interest is not an official reservation, but it'll help me with the workshop planning, and over the next weeks, when I have all the details together, including the pricing, you'll get the option to sign up in the order of your original mail. So please, if you're interested and if you want to secure a seat on that workshop, don't hesitate to email me. The address again, info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. And by the way, if you already want to look up your travel, the nearest airport is in Stuttgart, and Tübingen is, of course, serviced by our German railway system, so getting here shouldn't be much of an issue. But now let's finally get into today's topic. Now, you just made the switch from a point-and-shoot to a digital SLR camera, and all of a sudden you find yourself in front of a huge mountain of new things to learn. This can be quite overwhelming at times, so let me take a few minutes and show you a learning path that might help you approach this mountain step by step. With a digital SLR, you have a very versatile tool at hand that provides you with a lot of control over how your images turn out. The flip side is that all the decisions that your old point and shoot used to take for you are now in your own hand. But this is a good thing, so the first thing I suggest is to get out of automatic mode. Chances are your new camera has all sorts of modes, such as a portrait mode, a night mode, a sports mode, and so on. But what I suggest is that you ignore those and instead first switch the camera to what's called aperture priority mode. This is the mode that lets you select the aperture, and then based on the light conditions, the camera will automatically select the proper exposure time for the picture. And the aperture of a lens is, by the way, the exact same thing as the iris in our eyes. It can be wide open to let a lot of light in, or it can be very small and limit the amount of light. But in addition to regulating the amount of light, the size of the aperture will also give you control over something that you didn't have control over with your point and shoot, and that's called the depth of field. And I'm sure you've seen portraits that have a wonderfully blurred background, which in turn makes the subject stand out really well. And this is achieved by shooting images with a large aperture. Well, now let's give this a quick try, and the best place to test this is outside during daytime where there's lots of light. Now find someone who's comfortable being your model and try a few shots with a large aperture and then the same shot with a small aperture. Now watch out, here's the first stumbling block, and it has to do with the aperture numbers. A large aperture, also sometimes referred to as a wide open aperture, has a small number, and a small aperture has a large number. So in order to get a shallow depth of field with a blurred background, you'll want small numbers. An aperture of f4 is a good start, and if you want everything in your picture to be in focus, an aperture of f18 or 16 might do the trick. Now that we learned about controlling the depth of field using the aperture, we can explore a second mode which will give us control over the exposure time of an image. This is often called the time priority mode, and it allows you to select the amount of time that the camera exposes the image. In case of this time priority mode, the camera will automatically set the right aperture for you. A really good way to demonstrate this mode is to take a picture of a fountain. If you select a short exposure time of, let's say, a 500th of a second, you will freeze the water in mid-air. And if you select a longer exposure time of, let's say, a 10th of a second, your resulting image will have the fountain nicely blurred. Now that we have learned to control depth of field using the aperture and to control motion using the exposure time, there is one third variable that will let us influence the brightness of the image, and that is called the ISO. Back in the good old days of film, you bought an ISO 100 film for daylight photography and an ISO 400 or higher film for indoor photography. And with a digital SLR, changing the ISO is exactly the same thing as loading a film camera with film of a different light sensitivity. But the question is, why do we want to change the ISO? Now the answer to that is fairly simple. With film, the higher you go in terms of ISO number, the larger the grain gets that you will see in your picture. So lower ISO will get you smoother pictures, and it's the exact same with a digital camera, just that it's not called grain, but noise. So if we want smooth pictures, why not always take them at ISO 100? Well, imagine you want to take a picture with everything in focus. Remember that requires a small aperture, which in turn doesn't let much light through. Or you want to take a picture that freezes all motion, which requires you to shoot with a very short exposure time, which again doesn't allow for much light to be captured by your camera. So the ISO value is a setting which will allow you to find the right balance between the camera settings that you need for your particular picture and the amount of light that the camera needs in order to get a good exposure. The general rule is to keep the ISO as low as possible for a given shot, but as high as necessary to get a good result. To make this more clear, let me give you a real-world example to make the connection between these three parameters a bit clearer. Okay, let's get this into sound seeing mode. All right, now the first thing I want to show you is, let me go to the window. I'll take a picture outside the window. Now I have the ISO set to 100 because the outside is really bright. It's a sunny day and Yeah, I want smooth pictures. So ISO 100 is a good choice here. And now let me see how far I can go. I'm changing the aperture from f4, which is the largest that this specific lens can do. And I'm changing it down with f4, I can get 1/1000 of a second. This is very fast, 1/1000 of a second. I'm switching it up to 8.0. That's still giving me 1/200 of a second. That's still fast enough. And if I want to get a lot in focus, I can even go down to f16. That's giving me a 1/16 of a second. And yeah, a nice depth of field. So I have a lot in focus on the picture. Now, moving back to the inside of the room, and it's quite a bit darker in here, even though your eyes might not really notice, but yes, it is darker, and the difference is quite dramatic. Now, with the same settings, ISO 100 and an aperture of f16, which is, again, in turn, a small aperture, large number, small aperture, this is giving me a second, a very long second, and there's no way to handhold that and to not get any camera shake in there. So the way to go here is, well, first of all, to lower the aperture. Now I'm down to f5. Well, let's go down to f4. That's giving me 1/10 of a second. It's still too long to handhold without getting any camera shake. So now this is the time to raise the ISO, to make the camera more light sensitive, or more sensitive to light. So I'm raising the ISO to, let's say, ISO 800. 800 will result in somewhat grainy pictures on some cameras, but hey, I can get 1/80 of a second now. F4, ISO 800 will give me 1/80 of a second, which is fast enough again to get the shot handheld with this lens. So you see that aperture, exposure time, and ISO are interrelated. If this is too confusing in the beginning, don't worry, just keep shooting, and you'll have those things mastered faster than you can say tips from the top floor. Once you are more familiar with your camera and how its light metering reacts to different situations, you'll find that the metering is not always as accurate as you'd like it to be. A good example are backlight situations where you have a dark subject in front of a bright background, or a sky that is overexposed with a well-exposed landscape in the foreground, and this is where exposure compensation comes in. Now please take your camera's manual and look that one up. Exposure compensation will allow you to nudge your camera into the right direction in those very specific situations where its metering doesn't exactly do what you think it should. Now, once you're comfortable with setting the aperture, exposure time, and ISO, the next thing to look into is the so-called white balance. The light around us is made of three different primary colors, red, green, and blue, and the distribution of those colors is different for different light situations. We call that color temperature, and there's warm colors that tend towards the yellow-red, and cold ones that go more into the green-blue area. Our human eye usually doesn't notice those differences in light color, but a digital SLR does, and most cameras do a pretty good job in automatically adjusting for different color temperatures, which is why I have my own camera usually on the automatic white balance setting. But I know that, for example, if an indoor scene is lit with tungsten light, my camera tends to give those images a strong yellowish cast, which is why I switch to manual white balance whenever I take pictures in those light conditions. And learning to influence the white balance is also a great way to take creative pictures. For example, try shooting an outdoor scene with a white balance setting for tungsten light, and you'll get a nice greenish color cast. Now, Now, if you mastered all the things that we've been talking about during this show, from setting aperture, exposure, ISO, exposure compensation, and white balance, you're basically already there. There's not much more to learn from a technical point of view when it comes to a digital SLR, and having mastered all of this will help you get the most out of your camera. Now, back with film photography, having the technically correct exposure and a good image composition was only 80% of the picture. The rest happened during the processing in the darkroom, where the photographer had to make all sorts of decisions ranging from what paper to use for the enlargements to things like how long to develop the film and what chemicals to use. And the equivalent in today's digital world is the post-processing that now lets you take all those decisions yourself on your computer and get those last 20% out of your images. But going into more detail here would exceed what today's show was originally planned for, but don't worry, there are many resources out there that can help you master this aspect of digital photography as well. If you, for example, go to the Tips from the Top Floor website, there's a link at the top that will lead you to all the previous episodes. There is a Tips from the Top Floor Photoshop corner, which will teach you about some of the Photoshop specifics around post-processing. Another excellent resource is photowalkthrough.com, where you can actually watch as great images are being post-processed, and I'm sure there will be more shows around that topic here on Tips from the Top Floor in the future. And that was it for Tips from the Top Floor, show number 128. Hope you had as much fun listening as I had doing the show. And again, if you're interested in the digital photography workshop on September 11th to 15th this year, that's 2006, please express your interest in an email to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com and be among the first on the list when booking starts in a few weeks. The seats are limited to 14, so be quick. You can leave feedback in the following ways. Email to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. If you live in the United States, why not leave a voicemail at 206-202-DSLR? That's 206-202-3757. The Tips from the Top Floor forum is another great resource for feedback and exchange with other listeners. And last but not least, if you want to send me Pop-Tarts, shoot me an email to get my address. My name is Chris Marquardt, podcasting from the Top Floor Productions headquarters at Tübingen, Southern Germany. Enjoy the rest of your week and happy shooting. I gotta do what is right, I won't give up the fight, I stay with you every night. I make you understand that